there's so few of us, I thought it'd be better if I was to preach from down here rather than up there. Jill, could you kindly turn to number 362 in Singlory? Could you look it up in your Singlory books? It's Silent Night. And I thought perhaps we'd just start by singing the first verse together. Thank you very much. Please be seated. Silent night. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round the Virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. It's a beautiful carol, isn't it? A familiar one and a favourite. But whether you feel calm or not, I guess, depends on what you've had to do before now. Getting ready for Christmas, making your plans and preparations can be very taxing and time-consuming. Most people love Christmas. They look forward to it and enjoy it, and even the pressure that comes with it. While others find it stressful, worried about whether they can afford it, struggling with anxieties at home or work or relationships, not forgetting, of course, those who've been sick, the lonely, and the bereaved. And of course, our world is also under stress, isn't it? With fighting in the Middle East, uncertainty in Syria, and the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine, we could all do with some heavenly peace at this moment. But of course, tyranny is nothing new, as our passage from Luke's Gospel, which John kindly read out for us, makes clear. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. We're so familiar with this Christmas story that we tend to forget that this isn't simply a quiet matter of civil administration. It's a major, major inconvenience and a reminder that you live in a land which has been taken over and ruled by a foreign regime. Bishop Tom Wright, in his commentary on this passage, reminds us that Augustus was actually the adopted son of Julius Caesar, who after a bloody civil war where he had overpowered all of his rivals, had turned the Roman Republic into an empire with himself as the head. And it wasn't long before he declared that his adopted father, Julius, should be called divine, and even someone who should be worshipped. And because he, that is Augustus, had brought in his own eyes Roman justice and peace to the empire, he quickly started to style himself as its lord, its master, its king and savior, directing that he too should be worshipped as the Son of God. It's amazing, isn't it, how quickly some tyrants develop delusions of grandeur. And we can see something of this in our own modern day and age. And so it's within this context that we come to the story of Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph making their way along the 75 long and very weary miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because Joseph was himself of the line of David. And already we get a hint, don't we, of two kingdoms at play in this story, one Roman, the other Jewish, one pagan, the other divine. Because David was historically Israel's most successful king, anointed by God himself. But the problem was that when Mary and Joseph got to Bethlehem, there was no room for them at the inn. And so we're told that while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. She placed him in a manger. Now, because we hear the word manger, we automatically tend to assume that they were outside in a drafty stable somewhere, complete with donkeys and sheep and goats. After all, that's what we see on our Christmas cards. But the passage doesn't actually say that. That's our imagination filling in the gaps, because in our culture, that's where we expect mangers to be, outside, in barns. But actually, in biblical times, most Jewish people would have had an area within their house where they actually brought their animals in at night. So it may not have been outside at all, but inside. Certainly not in the family's living quarters, but in an area designated for animals. And so perhaps Joseph's wider relatives were not so far away after all. But actually, it's not the stable that's important. It's not the stable. It's the manger. We're so familiar, aren't we, with the wise men, or the magi, as we know them, who we see in Matthew's gospel being led to where Jesus was by a guiding, shining star, a star which they saw in the east, which led them directly to where the child lay. We're so familiar with this fact that the wise men followed the star, that it was a sign to them, that we don't tend to think in terms that the shepherds too perhaps needed a sign to follow. But they did. And the sign that they were to look out for was a child wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. After all, there may have been many babies born that night, who knows? But the one that they needed was a special one lying in a manger. Three times the angels informed the shepherds that they should be looking for a child lying in a manger. But of course, even then, it wasn't really the manger that was significant, but the child that lay within it. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Now Caesar Augustus may have had many titles, but I suggest that they pale into insignificance compared to those given to this child. For the angels declare that he is the Christ, a Greek word stemming from Christos, which means the anointed one, which means Messiah in Hebrew, the one who is, again, anointed by God. It is he who is Christ the Lord, and Lord here means King, and the one who will really be the people's Savior. And so if we turn for a moment to the New King James Version, it's no wonder that the angels sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." But let's be clear. It's not goodwill between men that we're talking about here, not at all, but God's own goodwill to men. God's own goodwill, which bestows peace, his special peace, God's own peace, which is part of his own intrinsic nature, his shalom. A goodwill which is bestowed upon men not because they deserve it, but precisely because they don't. Because none of us, by right or by human effort, deserves to stand in the sight of God, because we're all sinners. But we know, don't we, from John's Gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, Augustus may have considered himself to be the empire's savior, because he had imposed through military might Roman peace and justice, no doubt killing many in the process. But it's Jesus who is truly the savior of the world because of what he had come to do. Because as God incarnate, God had embraced in him our humanity, taken it upon himself. And through Jesus, he has willingly taken upon himself not only our humanity, but the consequences of our sin, bearing within his own frame, his own body, the terrible punishment of it all, through his terrible death upon the cross. So that when we put our faith and our trust in him, we are no longer deemed to bear any guilt or shame, because we've been set free of it. Not because, again, of anything that we have done, but because of everything that he has done. His love, his goodwill towards us brings us both joy and peace, God's peace, and all because he loves us. "Do not be afraid," the angel said. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." All the people. Whether you be the highest of the high, or the lowest of the low, rich or poor, wise man or shepherd, born in a palace or in the heart of an earthly home, in need or in plenty. For in the person of Jesus, God steps into this world and brings love, joy, forgiveness, and peace to you. All you need is for you and the world to recognize the Lord as your Savior, repent and believe, which is transformational. It is no wonder, is it, that the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Because for them, on that wonderful, amazing, starry night, full of angels and God's glory, Christmas had truly come. May it be so for us too, and may it be for our world. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round the Virgin and her child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep, rest, sit, stay, enjoy God's heavenly peace. I wish you all a very happy Christmas. In the name of Christ, Amen.